Happy Easter to you, particularly if you are here for the first time, and frankly, if you're honest, you have no idea what's going on. You are especially welcome as well. On the screen behind me and on the little screen for some of those who can see it are three words that is all about today. Jesus is alive. And I wonder if we would just speak that out together. One, two, three. Jesus is alive. For those today who are doubting, Jesus is alive. For those right now in this room that are hurting, Jesus is alive. For those who are grieving, Jesus is alive. For those, frankly, who are desperate, Jesus is alive. For those who are just searching for something, Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Amen. So we are going to reflect for a few minutes on what on earth is happening today. What is Easter really about? And why are we about in a moment to get to go outside and watch six people get into it? On that first Easter Sunday, the followers of Jesus had a big problem. Because the person that they'd been following, Jesus, the one that they thought was God's rescuer, had died. All of their hopes, all of their dreams were in tatters. You can imagine the sadness. But then stories began to come out on that first Easter Sunday that first a couple of women and then some of the other disciples all gathered together and then came back to talk to the other disciples saying they'd seen Jesus. The tomb was empty, that Jesus was alive. Imagine being one of those other disciples. You hadn't actually been there yourself. You're just hearing these stories. What would you make of it? Well, then something remarkable happened. And on the screen, we have some verses from the Bible. Don't worry if you can't see them. I'll read them to you. This is from John's Gospel, one of four accounts, if you like, four narratives of Jesus' life. And this is what it says. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there amongst them. "Peace be with you," he said. And as he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. So now, not only the first few that had been to the tomb first thing in the morning, now everybody that was with him had seen Jesus. They'd seen his hands, seen his wounds. They knew that he was alive. No wonder they were filled with joy. But do you notice what Jesus said to them? Jesus said, "Peace be with you." And I want to say to you this morning, whoever you are, whether coming to church is something that's usual for you or this is really bonkers right now for you, this morning, God wants to say to you, there is peace available for you. For those of us searching, that we know we've got that inner turmoil, we've been looking in relationships, we've been looking for in career, we've been trying to build our bank balance, and whatever we've tried never quite cuts it. This morning, friends, Jesus says, peace. Peace be with you. But there was a problem, because there was one person that had been walking around with Jesus that wasn't there. You may know the story, but if not, it was a guy called Thomas. He wasn't there that evening. And so all these followers of Jesus had heard and now seen Jesus. But of course, when Thomas comes back, what would you think when you hear all this chatter about Jesus being alive? You would think, not on my watch, until I see for myself. And this is what the Bible says, verse 24 and 25 of John chapter 3. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, who is nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." Do you see? One of our four had a real advantage because they could see it all with their own eyes. And what Thomas is simply saying, what many of us say, I'm not going to believe this until I can see it for myself. Until I know. I hear all the good stories. You might have heard those video stories just now and think, that is brilliant for them. But not until I see for myself. My hope and prayer for all of us this morning is that we may catch a glimpse for ourselves this morning, as we'll see. Some of us are a bit like Thomas. We feel even now in this big room with loads of people as though we're on the outside. We don't know the words for from the songs, and therefore having to read them or not is irrelevant for us. We're sort of on the edge because we've come to be supportive of people getting baptized, but this just feels a bit weird, a bit alien for us. We're a bit like Thomas. They've seen the Lord, but not me. Not me. But look what happens next. John, the writer of this in the Bible, goes on. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. Remember 8 days? So Thomas has been there on his own thinking, I don't believe this. But 8 days later, this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Do you notice what happens for Thomas? There now he sees for himself what others had seen. And it may be right now that some of us are beginning to catch a glimpse of something that we've seen in the lives of those getting baptized. We've seen a change. Or we know they're living for something that we want. But we've got all sorts of questions. But right now we're beginning to wonder, maybe this might apply to me too. And do you notice what Thomas does when he sees Jesus' hands and his wounds? This is what he does. It's an amazing verse. If you think this is a first century Jewish guy saying this about a person, my Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Friends, you don't need me to tell you that for a first century Jewish person to say this to another human being would be the height of blasphemy unless he knew that Jesus was the real deal. And maybe for you this morning, you're beginning to wonder, maybe Jesus is the missing piece in my life. That missing thing that I see in other people that I know he's been saying to me, come, come home. But you've got to ask, why were they so excited? Yes, their friend was alive. That was brilliant. But there's something else. And I need one other volunteer now. One other volunteer. This is tricky. Come on, Jamie. Up you come. It's not a difficult job. But I want to be parents, adults, grown-ups, to be honest here. This is the time to confess. Have any of you put your hands up if you've ever had a detention at school? Look around at those hands in the air and know that they are the honest ones. Right, put your hands down. Now, I realise that today, detentions may be very different. You can put your hands down. Someone's keeping up very long. Yeah, lots of detentions. But some of you might not have detention. Some of you might have what you call reflection time, when you've done something a little bit wrong and you need to just chill out a bit. Well, I want Jamie to imagine that he was me. I remember Mr. Pearson. Mr. Pearson wasn't a friendly teacher, but we used to laugh at him really badly. I remember one time I whistled at him in a lesson. He was very cross. So he made me, do you know what he made me to do? He made me turn round and go and stand up face to face with a wall for the rest of the lesson. That was my reflection time, and then I had to write a letter of apology. Now, why did the disciples get so excited about Jesus rising from the dead? Yes, their friend had risen. But there's something else, because right at the heart of Christianity is something a bit like this. Imagine I was there, I know that I'd done wrong, and there I was with the shame of being stood there amongst all my mates, close up by the wall like Jamie is here. Everyone looking at him. But what the heart of Christianity is this, knowing that I'd done wrong, imagine then Mr. Pearson said, I'll tell you what, Tim, Jamie, you can go and sit down now. I'll tell you what, Tim, I will spend the rest of the lesson standing up against the wall like this. Imagine how I would feel knowing I'd done wrong, but somebody took my place. How would I feel about Mr. Pearson then? My mind would have been changed. I would not spend the rest of my school taking the mickey out of him, would I? Because suddenly he's done what I deserved and took my place. Friends, that is the heart of Christianity. That is why there was joy, because they realized as Jesus died and then came back to life, The same is true for us, friends. That's why Jesus being alive is good news for you, all of us. Because all of us know one day we will face that ultimate journey, painful though it is. And some of us know what that's like with those we love. And Jesus rising from the dead extends an offer to us simply saying, put your hand in my hand because I've beaten death. And I don't know about you, but if that's the case, I want to be on his team. I want to be in his team. And do you notice what happened? They saw who he was because they saw his scars. Most of us, if you're like me, we long for God to do something dramatic. If he could just write my name in the stars, then I'd know he was real. But both the disciples and Thomas, they looked and they saw the scars. And for some of us, that is what we need to do. You're wondering right now, God, are you real? Is all of this, does it make sense? Do I need this in my life? And this morning, Jesus says, friends, look at my scars. I died for you. In your place. So that if you put your hand in mine, if you accept me into your life, with all of your stuff, with all of your past, with all of your questions, I'll take you forward into eternity. Because right at the end of that chapter of the Bible, Jesus knows what some of us will be thinking. Some of us will be thinking, well, that was fine to be Thomas, because he actually saw Jesus with his own eyes. And we might be thinking, Tim, I get what you're saying, but I want to see him. And there's this beautiful verse at the end of this passage. Jesus knows what you're thinking when he said this. Jesus told him, you believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. If God could say to you, do you want a blessing in your life? I guess most of us, even if we're not sure whether he's real, would say, yes, please. And the offer there is for all of us this morning. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.